Well, I'm excited to have Jason Holt here. Let's pray for him as he begins. Lord Jesus Christ, we desire to see you, and we thank you that you choose to use men and women to point us to yourself, and you actually speak through your men and women. So right now we ask Jesus that by the power of your Spirit, you would speak through Jason to each one of us. Lord, that you would use your written word, the Bible, to then bring a fresh word, a rhema word by your Spirit into each of our spirits. We seek divine encounter. We seek the miraculous now. We don't want to be just educated, Lord. We want to encounter you. So use the word, use the preaching of the word to draw us each into your presence. Bless Jason that as he lets you flow through him, he'd be recharged himself for your glory. Amen.
Good morning, church. First, I want to say thank you, Pastor Joel. Thank you, congregation, for the opportunity to be with you. It's absolutely terrific to be back here. Worship team, thank you. Thank you. Those songs not only tie into exactly what we're looking at today together, but really as you sung, as you thought on what those were describing, that was a message itself. Yet not Christ, yet not I, but Christ in me. That is what we are going to focus on, actually. Together today. And so this rich picture about the Lord being our help. I bring you greetings this morning in Jesus' name from your AFLC family of ministries. We have the schools are just celebrating with the opening of the Student Life Center in Minneapolis. Grateful for basketball games that happened there this weekend. From the Missions Corp, both world and home missions and the opportunities globally and locally in planting churches and seeing the kingdom go forward that way. And then from the Courting Committee Corporation, which includes evangelism, discipleship, parish education, and then youth ministry is where I've been serving for 13 and a half years as the National Youth Director and grateful for how God is at work. As Pastor Joel said, we're going into God's Word together today. We'll be going into the Psalms and thinking about this season of Lent and leading up to Palm Sunday, leading up to Easter, just reminded of how when it came to Palm Sunday, how the crowds were crying out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," that Hosanna to the Son of David, that there was something for the crowds to say. And as we turn our attention to this one particular psalm, we're going into this ancient prayer book or song book of the people of God. And specifically here in Psalms 120 through Psalm 134, these 15 psalms would be used by the people of God when they went up to Jerusalem to meet with one another and to worship the Savior King. The city of Jerusalem sits at a peak, and so every road kind of goes up to Jerusalem. So the people of God would say these psalms to one another or sing these psalms to the Lord to remind one another of the reality of who God is and what he is doing. So this morning we join together. We join in looking at this particular psalm as a reminder of this content to one another, but also to experience this connection together as well. So I invite you to look in your paper Bible, your electronic Bible, as we look at Psalm 124. I'm going to invite you to remain seated and focus in on this text. A Song of Ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, and the torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Heavenly Father, this is your word. We ask, Lord God, that you guide us into your word and remind us today, both grab our hearts and our heads and more than anything, lead us to cling to you, to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our help, our hope, our everything. It's in your name we pray. Amen. In this text, you're going to see four specific realities. These four layers for the people of God, and it's also echoing to those who may not know the living God to see clearly who God is. First, we're going to find out that this remembering process is for us. It's not for God. God has not forgotten. It's for us to remember. Next, we're going to notice how the struggles hit us. The text is very honest about the things that we face. And in a world in the last 12 months of the things that we have dealt with personally, locally, nationally, globally, this is an important reminder for us. And then we go on to see how the Lord delivers us. He doesn't just leave us there. He is at work. And then ultimately, all moving to this fact that the Lord is our help. It both looks back to what God has done, and it points us forward to today and to the future, that He is powerful, He is faithful, He is our help, He is our hope. So first, the remembering is for us. Notice in the text, the first two verses echo this word to one another, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Let now Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Did you notice the hour? Our side. This is the people of God together experiencing this. This is the people of God remembering and the people of God telling one another. The Lord has on our side. This is attributed to King David. The one who Scripture tells us was a man after God's own heart was also the man who knew his own sin and his own struggles. When the people rose up against us, verse 2, the enemy of our souls is real. The negative influence in the world, the flesh and the devil is real. The corruption of our old nature is real. If it had not been the Lord who is on our side, we'd be in trouble. We'd be in big trouble. But the premise, that the wording of 1 and 2 is expecting the fact that the Lord is on our side. That the Lord is the one who is with us through these hard things. The Gospel Coalition is an organization committed to the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and communicating a life of faith integrated in all of the areas in which we deal with in our world. Within the last year, they had this post about the need for lament. And just as we think about Scripture, about a third of the Psalms went into this picture that life is hard, but that we express that to God. And we remind one another of that reality so that we cling to Him. The trials come, but we look to Him. The things we face are real. These adversaries, these enemies, these difficulties are real. But the Savior King is here. And that makes the difference. This Lenten season is a time to remember. And that is for us. I hear tonight you're going to have some testimonies. That is for us to remember and to remind one another how God has worked in the past and how He is working now. The strength for us as believers is when we remember. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:8 starts with the phrase, remember Jesus Christ. Paul wasn't telling Timothy, you know, I think you maybe forgot about Jesus. It was this reality that we need to remember. The remembering is for us. How do you prioritize remembering? How do you prioritize remembering? You prioritize remembering when you gather to worship. You prioritize remembering when you gather and testimony and telling one another about who God is and what He has done. And you remember daily in your homes and with your friends and in workplaces. How do you remember? The remembering is for us. Next, the struggles hit us. Verses 3 through 5 describe some things that are beyond our control. It talks about people who are coming up and swallowing us alive, anger and difficulty. The language 4 and 5 of floodwaters, raging waters, anger, strife, pain, difficulty. We can kind of summarize them in two categories. The reality of the enemy of people, those that are against us, and the enemy of catastrophe. This picture of things that are beyond our control. And actually, when people are against us, that's beyond our control as well. We can't make somebody else respond to us the way that we want. We can't make something in creation go the way we want it to go. Whether COVID, racial injustice, all kinds of things of these last 12 months, we know these two categories very well. We know when things are beyond our control. We know when we're on that verge of being swallowed up by difficult things. But God's word steps through and reminds us that He sustains. The struggles hit us. It was actually the last time that I was here that I was leaving on Sunday afternoon, driving south to make my way towards the Twin Cities where I live. And being a springtime window, you know how snow melts in this region. And you know what happens to roads when snow melts. Well, that Sunday afternoon as I was traveling down, I saw up ahead some county workers with their truck unloading the cones and safety information, you know, things they're going to set up for cars that were coming. There was a pickup truck right ahead of me, and the pickup truck kept going. I was driving, thought, okay, if the workers are just now setting up things, it still must be okay. But as I looked ahead and saw the pickup truck start into some waters that on the west side of the road were high and were streaming across over to the east side of the road, and I thought, no problem, this will be fine. As I followed the truck about 100 yards into the water, there were two things that I didn't realize. And I quickly needed to remember. Number one, it was not standing water. It was rushing water across from the west to the east that way. And number two, as Pastor Joel can describe for you, I forgot I was in an economic rental car. My Chevy Spark does get great mileage when I rent it, but it's also the weight of just a few Minnesota Viking offensive linemen. You know, it's no match for floodwaters. So about 100 yards into navigating these waters, and as I saw the pickup ahead, who was starting to have water splash up onto its fenders, I realized I needed to change my route. So I stopped and looked quickly in the rearview mirror. About now, the workers have stopped unloading their truck, and they're just watching, okay, is this guy going to survive, or is he going to be a bobber off in the other ditch, what's going to happen next. So I saw no one was coming behind. I quickly shifted into reverse and kind of navigated into the northbound traffic so that I wasn't fighting the water as I backed up. I was going a little bit with the water. And after a number of anxious moments, I was out of the water. But I'm convinced that if I would have kept going, the waters would have took me away. Raging waters are no match for tiny rental cars, and they're no match for us either. The text stressed that when these things come, they're beyond our control. Eugene Peterson, the author of The Message Translation, a number of books on Christian life and discipleship, writes that this is a psalm that talks about the hazards and the help. I think that's a great picture. The hazards of this world and the help. The hazards that come that we all encounter. No matter our age, we encounter these kind of hazards. But the help is in the name of the Lord our God. The question that comes to us then is that how do we respond? What are we focused on today? The hazards or the help? Peterson goes on to say, Psalm brings us the important insight that God didn't just off and leave us. We will keep encountering these hazards. But the living Savior King reminds us through his word today that he is our help. He is the one that we look to. And that's where the text goes then. Verses 6 and 7. Reminding us to see who he is and how he delivers us. Verse 6, completely different tone than those raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. All these hazards are still there, but blessed be the Lord. He's the one who is doing this. He has not given us over to those hazards. Verse 7, we have escaped like a bird from the snare of a fowler. The snare is broken. We have escaped. The trap is crushed, and we are set free. Maya Moore made headlines about almost 2 years ago now. One of the best players in the WNBA, Maya All-Star team after All-Star team, abruptly announced she was stepping away from basketball. Was she pulling another Michael Jordan? There was another sport she wanted to try. No, she stepped away from basketball because of seeing the injustice of one man. When she was participating in a prison ministry as a college student, she met Jonathan Irons. A man, Mr. Irons, incarcerated for a crime that he claimed he never did, spent 30 years in jail over it. When asked about it, Mr. Irons explained, "I can't plead guilty. I can't plead, you know, have some kind of plea bargain on this because I didn't do anything." Maya Moore stepped away from basketball to give her attention to Jonathan's case, and over a number of months was able to dig and find and show his innocence. This last fall, Jonathan Irons stepped out of prison, completely free. Maya Moore, evangelical Christian like you and me, wearing a t-shirt that said Micah 6:8, which points to justice, which points to mercy, which points to walking humbly with our God. When interviewed, Jonathan Irons stepped to the mic and said, "Now I can live. Now I can live." That's the reality spiritually for us, that we were jailed for something that we did do spiritually, that we are against the living God in our old nature and in the things that we have committed, and that we, through Jesus Christ, his death in our place, his sacrifice for us, he died in our place, he took all of our sin on him. And because of that, we then step out of the spiritual jail and say with Mr. Irons, "Now I can live." But notice our sister in Christ, Maya Moore, who stepped away from fame, stepped away from what she was known for, and gave her time and attention to extend freedom to Mr. Irons. She reflects our Savior King, Jesus Christ, who left the fame of heaven, who stepped to this earth, who walked this earth, a sinless life, clung to the cross for you and me, died and rose again, and is alive today. This Jesus, this Savior King, this is our deliverer. So we have good news today. The reality of the Lord being blessed and the reality of the snare being broken, that we have escaped, we have been set free, and the reality of this good news. The God of all creation has breaks the bonds of entrapment. He spiritually looks at us and heals us. We have good news today. The God of all creation provides the escape. Jesus' death on the cross is our deliverance. The deliverance of the living Lord both breaks our chains and sets us free. Seeing these pieces invites us to respond with Jonathan Irons, "Now I can live." Who needs to hear this? Who needs to be reminded of the Lord's deliverance? God's calling us. And much like this saying about if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, that becomes our starting point. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, but he is, so we have something to share. And then last, the Lord is our help. The psalmist builds to this pinnacle of just one simple verse. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I don't know about you, but I hear the word help and it feels a little wimpy. You know, help me. It's like a pathetic sounding cry at first. But our minds shift when we hear like help. Well, why don't you just, you know, help yourself? Why don't you do something about this help? But God's word is plain that we can't help ourselves. We are the ones that cannot be helped spiritually without Christ. Without Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so not only has he saved us, but he is our ongoing help. He is our ongoing hope. Our help underlines that he is the Lord. We're talking about the living God here. He's not a lightweight, but the heavyweight champion of creation. Our help underlines that he is the creator king, the one who made heaven and earth, and directs our attention to him, no matter what we are facing with those hazards. And then our help underlines that he is the Savior who brings this escape. He is the one who makes the difference. Once again, this response to him is calling us to trust him, calling us to understand that he is our help. Lord, you are our help. Lord, you are our hope. So using the words from Eugene Peterson once again, the hazards are there. They're problematic. They are not small. But the help is ever present. In his book on discipleship in an instant society, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Peterson talks about this picture. He writes, "We sing our songs of victory in a world where things get messy. We live our joy among people who neither understand or encourage us. But the content of our lives is God, not humanity. We are not scavenging in dark alleys of the world, poking in garbage cans for a bare substance. We are traveling in the light toward God, who is rich in mercy and strong to save. It is Christ, not culture, that defines our lives. It is the help we experience, not the hazards we risk, that shapes our days." Maybe you're not a book person, maybe you're more of a music person. This song has captured the same picture. Even If by Mercy Me. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. And that's where the psalmist brings us. The psalmist brings us to see and to remember the Lord is our help. Maybe for you this morning, God's word is calling you to remember. Remember how he has worked in the past. Bring that to expression, to family, to friends, to your congregation members. I remember how God has worked through this in the past. It strengthens one another when we remember. And then to receive. Receive again that he is our help. He is our hope. He is our Savior King. That is God calling us through his word individually and together. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So Lord Jesus, we turn to you now. Lord, for those of us that need this in this moment to remember, Lord, by your Spirit, bring to our hearts and our heads the things that you have done recently and in decades past so that you may strengthen us again for following you and trusting you with whatever hazards we face. And then, Lord God, we come to this moment again, and for those of us that need to receive again, to fully receive from your hand, from your word, that you are our help, you are our hope. Lord God, renew us, strengthen us, and lead us to cling to Jesus alone. It's in his name we pray. Amen.